In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Purely by accident this week, I was on the web and stumbled onto a page that happened to be from one of the big mega churches here in the area. And I had never been on it before. And so I was curious because they had a lot of rather lengthy clips from their services that showed pretty straightforward what happens on a Sunday in one of these larger places. And it was very interesting because I got to see some one-on-one discussions up on a stage, some group activities, a lot of Bible exposition, a lot of refreshments out in the narthex, and a whole lot of entertainment. And I'm not going to say which church this was, but I found myself thinking that it was reminding me a whole lot more of the business world that I came from than from church, because it was all about organizational things and entertainment. And it made me think again about how far we have drifted in this country from the very notion of what the true worship of God is. Now, these places are, and I'm not going to criticize the people going there, because many of them have never even heard of us, and perhaps that's our fault. So I can't criticize them for that, not one bit. But what I can look to is the fact that these churches are successful because they are offering things, all kinds of things, that are attracting people in the very same way that people are attracted to these things that are living in the world. Exactly the same thing. The entertainment seemed very much similar to what I've seen at rock concerts before. The discussions were not different from these team building sessions that I remember having when I was working. And I thought, this is something that is very sad to me. Very, very saddening. Because not only is it miles away from what we do here, but it's miles away from even the Protestant church that I grew up in, where there still seemed to be a sense of the holiness of God and what one does when one is in that holy presence. And I think, is this what today's day and age has wrought on all of us, on a society that is increasingly materialistic, increasingly seeking after things to satisfy its every wants and needs and desires without demanding anything of that society? Is the church done the same thing? Is it there to simply cater to desire as opposed to saying, come and follow me unto death? That's the corner that I think that we've turned in this country. And today's gospel sort of fit in with this whole thing that I was thinking about. Because last week, of course, we had the transfiguration. We know that Peter, James, and John went up into the mountain with the Lord. He was transfigured before them. And this gospel this week occurs immediately after that event, immediately after the transfiguration. And there is a person, a man who has a son, who in the reading today it said epileptic. That's not really correct. It's really lunatic, because the ancients felt that the moon could somehow control the mental estate of people. And then later we find out that the Lord actually cast out a demon. So it wasn't epilepsy as we know it, but somehow this demon was making this lunatic man go crazy. And the man came to Jesus in sort of a, well, you know, I showed him to your disciples and they couldn't do anything. And it made me wonder about the disciples that just came off of the mountain and saw the transfiguration of the Lord. Which disciples were these, I wonder, that were unable to do anything? Because if it was the disciples that were not on the holy mountain, well, that might be explained a little bit. But if it was Peter, James, and John who had just seen the transfiguration of the Lord, and they were unable to do anything because of their perceived lack of faith, that's something altogether different. But the Lord says, in exasperation almost, "You faithless and perverse generation." Not just "you poor folks," or "you should have prayed more," but "you faithless and perverse generation." Speaking to the disciples, "How long will I be with you? How long will I have to bear with you?" But then the Lord immediately turns to the man, and the demon is gone. And of course, everyone's happy about it. And the disciples are wondering, "Lord, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast this one out?" And he said, "This kind only comes out through prayer and fasting." And so after berating them for their lack of faith, he says, "What you have to do is pray and fast." And when you pray and fast, that's almost the equivalent of having more faith. You see, because the Lord was talking to them about the fact that perhaps they were assuming too much at that point. Maybe they had seen him transfigured, maybe not. Maybe they had gotten so used to the idea that they were able to issue these commands and demons would come out of people, that they were taking it for granted. Perhaps this was something that was one of their desires. "Oh, sure, bring him here. I can do this." And yet they were unable to. And the Lord says, "No, there are yet more demands to be made of you here. You have to pray and you have to fast." And how does that figure in to faith? Because if we don't have faith, and the man says, "Lord, you know, show me my faith. Show me how to have faith. I believe, but help my unbelief." What do we do when we have a lack of faith? Because many of us are thinking that somehow, you know, if we just squint our eyes hard enough, or that we sit and try and convince ourselves that somehow that faith is going to be there. I want to believe that so bad, and if I sit here long enough and just think hard and ask God to help me, that somehow that faith is going to be there and I'm going to be able to accomplish something even as a grain of mustard seed. But no, the Lord is showing us here the way to get to faith: prayer and fasting. Because prayer actually doesn't require faith. Prayer is an activity, an interactivity that we do, that we can offer to God even if we're not sure that God is there. We can do it. And God, who sees our efforts, rewards us with faith. And then perhaps we become a little more convinced about what we can do, and our faith increases. It's this constant give and take with divinity that leads us along the spiritual life. And fasting's the same way. We don't have to be someone of great faith to fast. We can begin the fast and hopes that somehow the Lord will accept it, paltry though it is, and increase our faith. And so he was saying here, the faith that you thought you had was not enough. It was not enough. Perhaps it was wobbling. Perhaps it was more faith in yourselves, in the things that you've seen, in the things that I have been enabling you to do, that has given you this courage to go forth. But now you come up against something that you're not able to do, and it's going to require effort. It's going to require work from you. You're going to have sessions of prayer and fasting, these things that envelop us, that come around us and protect us and help us in all the things that we do. That astonishing line from the gospel, "If you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, get up and move, and it will do it. Seems to us something that is, oh, come on now. Surely you can't mean that. You can't really mean that that mountain is going to get up and move if I have just but a grain of faith. And perhaps the Lord is referring to the mountain of our sins. If by that faith we could help that mountain of sins in us and we could say to it, get up and go someplace else away from me, perhaps that would be miracle enough. And perhaps that's how most people take this passage. But you know, if you read a lot of the lives of the saints, you will find that many of them actually did come up against physicalities in the world that seemed impossible, and they were able to make them move or to make them stop or to make a passage where there was no passage or to stop a storm that was coming. They were able to do this. So I don't think we should be too quick to think that somehow we shouldn't take this literally. But the Lord is showing us the power of this faith. He's saying to his disciples, look, you've been able to cure people. You've been able to get rid of demons and possess people. You've been able to do all of these things. But yet, your faith is not as great as that grain of mustard seed. And you need to work on getting it there. You must pray and you must fast. Listen, my brothers and sisters, what is missing from Christianity today is true grit. That is what is gone. That is what is lacking. There are some parts of the world that are experiencing it. But for us, over here, in our comfort and relative security, we are missing a Christianity that scabs the knees, that bruises the arms, that wounds the heart, that grabs us by the throat and shakes us. Because this is what the faith of Christ is all about. He didn't come and preach and set up a ministry and go on and have all these wonderful followers giving him accolades all the time. And then he goes off into a wonderful, glorious end where they're all screaming and yelling and say, goodbye, Lord, come again. And he ascends without the cross. No. All the time, even today, in today's gospel, how does it end? About the Son of Man is going to be crucified. About the Son of Man is going to be put to death. About the way of the cross is the rugged way, the way on your knees, the way crawling before God, the way that you worship before God. And if He rewards you, wonderful. And if He ignores you, wonderful. If He blesses you, wonderful. If He sends you something that is impossible, it seems like, to deal with, that's wonderful too. That's the God we serve. This is the God who is promising us so many great things are going to happen to us because our time here is but a blink of an eye. It's but a blink of an eye. And if you're as old as I am, you really understand what that means. It goes by very, very quickly. But eternity rests out there before us. This is what God requires. You want a battered and bruised Christianity. You want a Christianity with teeth, one that really means something, and one that has the capability of giving you the reward that you deserve for following the Lord. You can listen to your music at home while you're drinking your coffee, and you can turn on TED if you want to see some sort of debate or some sort of instructional material. But in your Christian faith, which should enlighten every single moment of your lives, you've got to be willing to turn to the Lord with prayer and fasting all the time, every minute of every day, and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Amen.